badly now because the week I was in England, the last week of January for the Vineyard National Conference, the pastor of the Trent Vineyard, it's a church of about 1,100 people, and he exercises, the pastor there, John Wright, exercises a lot of authority. And it really made my heart feel great when he stood there powerlessly saying, "Please, everyone, stop talking and find your seats." And he just stood there while the noise continued. I think his Vineyard people can be extremely unruly, especially when there are 1,300 leaders who all think they know best. And he repeated the call, and he repeated the call, and he finally just started beginning anyway. I mean, this is a church that, you know, 60 seconds before it starts, service starts, there's a countdown. 60, 59, 50, et cetera. When it gets to one, no kidding, every time, somebody that's going to be the first speaker for the session runs up to the platform. As soon as it hits zero, I mean, it's just like clockwork. And so the zero hit, nobody was paying attention, and John was standing there talking, and they kept talking, and I thought, oh God, you're so good. Anyway, enough about that foolishness, but it was really great, and we're all the same, I guess. We're coming into what the bigger church would refer to as a Lenten season. Tuesday is officially Mardi Gras, which in French means Fat Tuesday, and so we interpret it as Pancake Tuesday or Shrove Tuesday, and then Wednesday will be Ash Wednesday, apart from which, of course, we no longer eat food or, you know, any of that stuff. Well, that's kind of crazy, but Pancake Tuesday, and then we'll begin this kind of a season of 40 days leading up to Easter on the 31st of March, and just have a proposal for us what we want to do during these, we might want to do during these 40 days. So let's look at this passage in 1 Corinthians 12 this morning, gifts for others' benefit and our growth. In the notes here, just the first paragraph, you have notes on the back of your bulletin. If you're not familiar, just flip it over and it's there, gifts. Being an apprentice of Jesus rewrites our whole story. We get drawn up into the majestic task that is God's work of redeeming mankind. We get to go fish. We get to feel the joy of giving away what we're receiving. In other words, we get to live life to the full. This is how God had designed this new life. This is what we get to do. So I was thinking this morning about the gifts. Why do we give gifts? When do we give gifts? You know, it's like Christmas, birthdays, weddings, graduations, you know, other special occasions. But why do we give gifts during those occasions? Now, I was trying to boil it down to an essential thing. Why do we? I mean, sometimes, obviously, it's out of, you know, what Eleanor Mumford would refer to as GMO, a ghastly moral obligation. But beyond that, I mean, the reason we really like giving gifts is we're celebrating a relationship, aren't we? We enjoy buying a gift and giving it to someone. We want to see the reaction. If you're a parent, you love giving gifts to your children and see them respond with excitement and joy because there's a gift. Something's been offered from you to them. And so it's an expression of a relationship. And so God does that also with us. We're his children. He adopts us. He calls us to himself. And he wants to give us gifts. Scripture tells us he's the giver of every good and perfect gift. But why does he give us gifts? And sometimes we misinterpret. And just like as children, we misinterpret. Sometimes we think we're getting gifts because we're great. So I'd like to do a little survey here this morning. How many of you received a Christmas present some year for Christmas, because you were good all year long and you never did anything that made your parents upset, and that's why you got Christmas gifts? That's what I... Okay, we're gonna pray for a spirit of repentance to fall on three people at the back who raised their hands. Okay. So we don't receive Christmas presents because we've never done anything wrong, or we've never made our parents upset, or we've never disappointed, or we've never broken a window or whatever, taken cookies we're not supposed to, etc. We get gifts at Christmas time because the giver chooses to give them to us in spite of all the stories. At least for most of us. Except for Jeff and Clarissa and Olivia. Not to mention names, now that it's on tape for the whole world to hear. So, you know, we receive these gifts, and sometimes we have a mistaken impression that we are owed these gifts. You know, sometimes you get that impression that people just, they receive the gift, and it's like they rip into it, and they take off, and they don't even say, thank you. Jesus experienced that too, didn't he? You know, he healed, and they, some of the lepers just took off. They never bothered to say thank you. And so, but the Father enjoys giving us gifts because he wants to celebrate the relationship which he has created. You know, we love him not because we loved him first. He loved us first and called us to him. And so he celebrates this relationship that he has created with us, and he gives us gifts. But not gifts so that we're the end user. And the image I've had as I've thought of this in why do we get spiritual gifts? Why does the Holy Spirit give us gifts in this passage we're looking at this morning? And it's kind of like we're relay race people. You know, have you ever watched a relay race? And there are four runners. And so the first one takes the baton and he runs around. And he comes around and he hands off and the other person starts running and they try to grab it. And they're already in motion. But what would happen if the person hands off the baton and the other person stops in their tracks and celebrates the fact they've got a baton in their hand? The whole world would go, what are you doing? Plus the other runners that are sitting there going, have you lost your mind? This is not what this is about. The baton is not for you. Come on, get with it. Get with the program. Come on, this is a relay. The whole point is to run around with it and give it away. It's not meant to be a gift for you, but somehow we get this impression that God gives us gifts because we're wonderful, and that's true, and he thinks we're wonderful, and he loves to give us gifts. But the gifts, these ones that we're looking at today, aren't for us to sit back on our sofa eating chips and drinking soda and watching Downton Abbey. At least I heard somebody does like that show. But, Brenda, I didn't know that you were addicted as well. But the point is, and not that there's anything wrong with doing any of those things. Obviously, we all need some downtime, and that's great. But it isn't so that we just sit there with these gifts and, you know, we enshrine them and say, I got the baton. It's like, you know what? No, it's for passing on. The gifts that God gives us, this series of gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 that Paul outlines, are given to us, but as I mentioned in the title, they're for others' benefit first, and then for our growth. So he intends for us to receive the gifts, and when we receive them, understand that we've been given a baton, and we're not to just stand there going, isn't this wonderful? God has given me this wonderful gift. He must love me so much. And it's like, no, we've misinterpreted the whole point. We're supposed to run with it, and we're supposed to give it away to the next person in line. And so I think we're all in a relay, and we're all being given gifts. And so let's read this passage out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, this church that he has planted, and they're experiencing all kinds of stuff. The Holy Spirit is passing out gifts, and because there's so much work. The city of Corinth was in chaos. There's immorality. There's all kinds of false religion. There's all kinds of weird thoughts and ideologies going around. And so cleaning up that mess and making it a unified whole is really complicated. And so these people are coming into the church, and they're coming to faith in Jesus, and then the Holy Spirit is kind of like all over the place, but they don't really understand sometimes. And, you know, sometimes they receive these gifts. And I think Paul's writing sometimes to say, wait a minute, guys, you haven't received all this because you're so wonderful. The whole point is to run with this. And so I think he's saying the same things to us today. Let's read this passage from verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to others miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. Okay, let's look at this passage. We've read this over and over again, and you know, in the church in the 20th century, especially if we've had any exposure to charismatic circles, which we are a part of, sometimes we exalt these gifts like it must mean that we are like the international ambassador of all good things from God, and we have just received the highest, holiest calling. And I think God sometimes is looking down from heaven going, where did you ever get that idea? So we want to look at it a little more honestly and with a little more realism here this morning in this. So number one in the verse, the notes here, verses 4-6, it's varied gifts, but as Paul mentions, it's a unified Godhead. Varied gift, multiple gifts, but a unified Godhead. He repeats over and over again, the same Spirit, the one Spirit, that same Spirit. He keeps repeating that. Why is Paul doing that? And I think it's because there's a confusion. Some people maybe that would receive like word of wisdom would say, that's what the Holy Spirit does. And then someone else would go, nah, it's prophecy. And I'm going, no, it's healings. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And what Paul is trying to do is pull this crazy group that's fighting amongst themselves to say, wait a minute, guys, there's a unified Godhead. God knows what he's doing. This plan, if we read from Genesis through Revelation, which some of us are doing, if you're doing that, read through the Bible in a year, the Bible all fits together as one story. There's one God, one Godhead. There is a plan that runs through the whole thing, in spite of what we might hear to the contrary from some sources. So varied gifts, unified Godhead. Paul must have thought it was important enough to underline that it's all God. It's all the Holy Spirit. It's all his Spirit that is doing all of these things. And it's not for competition. It's not to elevate one over the other. But these are all gifts of the Holy Spirit, all different kinds, different kinds of gifts, different kinds of service, different kinds of working. But it's God who does all of this. God originates all of this. He's caught us up into a new life, which has as its goal to extend God's kingdom. We find ourselves as Frodo did when he asked the question in Lord of the Rings, you know, I wonder what kind of tale we've been caught up into. All of a sudden, there's this new realization that maybe God wants more from me. He sees differently what life is all about. It's not just, you know, getting to retirement and having a huge IRA and doing all of those things. Not that that's wrong, but maybe there's another goal of a life for as a disciple that goes beyond all of that, that reaches into eternity, which gives a better perspective on the other things that we might do. So Paul underlines this in saying, even though you see all kinds of different types of things happening that are generated by the Holy Spirit, there's only one Spirit. There aren't different spirits at work here. So verses 4-6, he identifies this as there is the Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, third person of the Godhead, and there's unity there. They all agree with one another. They're not in competition or in combat one with another. So number two, in verse 7, it's gifts for the common good. Each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. What does Paul mean here? The common good. First of all, I think he's clearly saying it is not for us to enjoy. It's not for us to, you know, do, you know, gold plating of our baton and putting it up on our mantle to say, haha, I won, I got the baton. I think he's saying it's for the common good. In other words, we receive it to give it away. just like they do in a relay. They give it, and they receive it, and then they give it away. Receive it, give it away. And then if you're the anchor, if you happen to be the anchor of the race, I had to verify this morning because sometimes my sports references are kind of off the wall. But the anchor, which I was right this time, is the last one. It's the final leg. It's usually if it's a runner, it's the fastest runner on the team that's given the anchor. He's the one that, he or she is the one who gets the baton last and goes to the finish line. And so sometimes we may be the one who gets the baton and we actually go to the finish line with it. We're the one, and that in that sense, we might actually have the privilege of being with someone as they come to a realization that God actually loves them, that Jesus died on the cross out of love for them, and he offers them eternal life. And we get to actually pray with them and agree with them that God, yes, is inviting them and God is welcoming them. And that's wonderful. But we may not always be the anchor leg. We may be the ones who receive it, and we pass something on that we've received. And we may not see fruit from it. We may not know what God has actually done with our act of service or whatever we've done. But he's getting his mileage. The thing we should never underestimate is how much work the Holy Spirit is doing right behind the scenes. Because sometimes you've got people who refuse, we want nothing to do, I don't want anything to do with God, religion, church, Christians, blah, and nothing of that. And the next thing you know, they're open their hearts wide open because they have just been ministered to, and it's just like God just finally gets their attention, and he finally helps them to realize this thing I've been fighting all this time is the very thing I've been wanting. So we may not be the final leg. We may not be the anchor. But if God gives us something for someone, you know, all we need to do is be obedient and expectant. If you've watched the Olympics and you see the next relay person who's standing there, you know, do they look like they're preparing to receive the baton? I mean, every muscle is tensed, and they just wait for that second where they start running so they can be in motion to grab that thing and keep going. They don't stand still waiting, and it's like, oh, it's mine. No, they're already in motion. They're already going. They're filled with anticipation that this is my job. This is what I get to do. And so it's gifts for the common good. We understand that we receive things from God so we can give it away. As soon as we recognize God's given us something, we need to start looking and asking him, what do I do with this? Who's the next person? Where does this go? What do I do with this? And the sense of anticipation. So each one, the manifestation of the Spirit. So it's a manifestation of the Spirit, which means it isn't like a certificate you get and, you know, you file it away somewhere, and we may have gotten lots of certificates of different programs we've gone through, and certificate of merit and all that kind of things, or diplomas sometimes we hang on walls, and all of that. It isn't just about receiving that way. It's also receiving it in a sense of, we want it to be an active presence. We want to work on this because, you know, we were mentioning yesterday from Canada from nearly 40 years ago, got a civil engineering technology diploma. I don't think I could do anything with it now because I haven't worked in it for years and years. But, you know, it's one of those things that it's an acquired thing, and it's a piece of paper that I probably don't even have anymore, but I still can brag about it if there's the right moment to brag, I guess. But that's not what God wants us to be doing. God wants us to be using what we've been given to give it away to others, to enrich others. It's first off for others' benefit, what we receive from him. The gifts are for others' benefits. We need to understand that what God gives us is not primarily to make me feel good. God has already made us feel good by adopting us and calling us his children. And then when he gives us gifts, we go, wow, here's something that somebody really needs. I wonder where I can put this. I wonder where this can go. You know, it's like you're tapped it if you're playing catch or whatever. And, you know, you're it, and so it's your job to find somebody else to pass it on to. So that's for the common good. So now, number three, it's a wealth to share. A wealth to share in verses 8 through 10. And I don't want to spend a whole lot of time looking at these this morning in great detail, but I just want to look at this list that Paul says are manifestations of the proof that the Spirit is there, proof of his presence, proof of his desire to use us for someone else's benefit. And so here are the things he gives. starting in verse 8. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. So going through number 3, obviously the first blank there is word of wisdom, and then word of B is word of knowledge. C, gift of faith. We could talk a lot about that. D is gifts of healing. He calls that plural, gifts of healing. E, working of miracles. F is prophecy. G is distinguishing between spirits. H is speaking in tongues. And then I is interpretation of tongues. And of course, that's all written there in your verses 8 through 10. So here are these 9 gifts that Paul identifies, these manifestations, these showings of the Holy Spirit. He just shows up and he expresses himself through these gifts. He sees a need, and so he may just show up and he may put something in our minds. And it may not be with, you know, a sense of, you know, electricity through the body or heat or perspiring or shaking. It may not be anything like that. It may be very, very normal, very quiet, very discreet. And we just see something, we hear something, we have words in our minds that we just go, oh. And we kind of need to have, I think, we need to live in a sense of expectation that we are always running a relay race and we should always be prepared to grab the baton. We should always be understanding that God is doing something and he wants to use us. I don't know if you've noticed this, but all of these 9 gifts, there is no distinguishing of age or gender or education or lack of education or abilities to speak. They're all free. They're all simple to do when God gives us these gifts. So the playing field is very level. Everyone gets to do this. Everyone can have any one of these gifts given to them for a specific circumstance. That's what God intends, because he wants to enrich. He wants to extend his kingdom. He's deposited a richness in us, an eternal richness in this new life he's given us. And what he wants us to do is to say, please pay attention. Have you ever been in class when a teacher has said, could you please pay attention? Those of you, you know, usually in the back row or whatever, not picking on anyone in the back row this morning, but usually that's where the attention starts to wane, you know, when you're in the back kind of hiding and whatever. And so the whole point is, these are not things that you have to work at. These aren't things you have to plan for and necessarily prepare for. And I think this even joins up with the story in the Old Testament where God even was in such a position of desperation that he actually spoke through a donkey. You know, and so that should put us all at ease. You know, if God could speak through a donkey, there's a possibility he might be able to speak through me. You know, I don't think I'm always as stubborn as mules and whatever, but I mean, it just puts the within reach. We can say, we can receive a word of wisdom and speak a word to somebody that we feel like, I just have an impression. And the other thing that we always, that holds us back, I think, is we forget that these gifts for the common good are given to us to give away, because God wants them for someone else. Have you ever given a word? Have you ever received something and you've given it and then you put the caveat in there, I don't know if this means anything or if this says anything to you, but this is what I'm getting. And it may be nothing to you. You know, I remember our friend Paul Nash in France, and I was translating for him, and Paul always would get the weirdest images, and he would always have images. And so he's talking to this one guy, and he wants me to translate this, and he starts talking about a sausage factory. I'm like, first off, Paul, I don't know what a sausage factory is in French, but it's like, how are you going to get there with this thing? And so the image, anyway, even when he gives the whole thing, is just like total nonsense. And then you see the person he's given the word to, and they're in tears. And you're like, how did that happen from what he just said? I mean, it's just too weird. So we don't have to understand it. It can be total foolishness, and we can be totally off. You know, John Wimber, who, you know, at the beginning of the Vineyard movement would often say, I'm not sure if this is God or last night's pizza, but I just feel like I need to share this. And if it's not God, and the person says, I don't see anything there, you know, it's like, okay, we missed it. It's not a big deal, you know? Nobody's hurt. And if they say, I don't really know what that's about, man, that doesn't really say much. And then you just say, okay, that's fine. You know, if it isn't right this time, is our response going to be, I will never do that again because I was so embarrassed? We do need to get over ourselves in that, because the Holy Spirit wants to come and he'll do it again. And so he may do, you know, he may give us more words, he may give us more images, a desire to pray for someone's healing, etc. And it's up to us to say, now am I going to just grab a hold of this baton and thank God for giving me the gift, or am I going to run with it and am I going to go do it? And I don't care what happens, I'm just going to be obedient to what he gives me. That's all God really wants for us. He wants it to be simple. Do we know when it's going to happen? No. To each one, the gifts are given, and the manifestation is given for the common good. So it's not about, if I get something to give to someone, it's not about me anyway. I'm just giving it away. So I receive it, and then I just turn around and give it away. And if they can't receive it, then we just move on, and we wait till the next time God does something, and, you know, we hope for better results. But that whole thing, it's the excitement of this wealth to share. Here we are, we're the recipients, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, and he desires to give us good gifts. And so, in these gifts that are to be given away for the benefit of others and our own growth later, you know, there's just this freedom to say, okay, I'll just receive it and we'll move on with this. All right, at the end, number 4, verse 11. All these gifts are the work of one and the same Spirit. He has to repeat it again for those who are still fighting. And he gives them to each one just as he determines. So the blank there, number 4, is at the Spirit's choosing. It's not the brightest and the best, the most educated, the nicest degrees, the best hair, the most hair, whatever. You know, it isn't anything about that. You know, Scripture, I think, clearly says that a child at 2 years old can manifest these gifts. You don't need to be an adult. You don't need to be old or whatever. All we just need to be is willing. And sometimes children, in the purity of their spirits, they don't even know what they're doing, you know. And I think parents have often been the recipients of gifts of healing and words of prophecy from the mouths of their little children, because they're just speaking. They don't understand that God is necessarily speaking. They can't say it that way. But they just say something, and it's just like God comes through. The Holy Spirit kind of blasts you with this. And she's like, how did you know that? And they're looking at you like, what, Mommy? You know, but, you know, you've just gotten, you know, hit with this major thing. So age, understanding, someone who is just new, born again, has just come and just prayed and received this the gift of salvation and this new life, at this understanding that what God has done for them is for them personally. And right after that, they can have a word and they can turn around and give it to someone that can be every bit as powerful as somebody who says they exercise a ministry of such and such. Because God doesn't care. It's at the Holy Spirit's choosing. And so we're all sitting in a place of receiving something that God wants us to share, and we need to understand that if he gives it to me, it is for sharing. And so if there's something that comes to my mind, my heart, you know, a feeling or a person or some nudging, however we get those kind of things, we need to be in the process of asking, what do you want me to do with this? You know, is this a phone call? Is this a visit? Is this a card? Is this a letter? Do I need to speak to that person that I'm seeing walking down the street, even though it scares me to death to even think about speaking to a stranger? But is that what you're doing? Is that what you're doing? Is that what you're doing? Is that what they're doing? You know, as they come closer? And then we just do what God asks us to do. And if we're faithful at it, even if it's off the wall, we can't fail because we've just tried to be obedient. And we'll get better at it as we try. And so what I'm proposing for the 40 days in Lent is that we would take this passage and we look at these gifts and we say, you know what? God wants to use me. God is handing me and handing us batons all the time. Every day, he gives us batons. And what do we do with them? So beginning a prayer that would say, Lord, help me to understand that you want to give these things kind of randomly from our perspective. We don't know when it's going to happen or to whom it's going to need to be given. But we just receive them naturally and say, okay, you give me something. It doesn't make sense to me. I'm a little afraid, but I'm just going to do what you tell me to do. If I have a word to speak or whatever, if I need to pray for someone, if you see someone that obviously needs prayer and you'd never ever think of doing that before, but just go out and say, can I pray with you? It's amazing what happens when people, you just walk up to someone and say, you know, would you mind if I pray with you? Most people are going to say, please pray for me. I mean, it's amazing. You wouldn't think that, but that's the response. And when I get a chance to have my friend Jit Patel come over from England, who's been doing this a lot in the last year, it's amazing in the circumstances, in parking lots and whatever, you just see someone and it's like he just gets this sense that God wants him to pray for him. So he just walks right up to somebody and says, can I pray with you? And they just look at him and they go, I'd really like that, you know, and it's just been so amazing. So God wants to do that as he chooses. And so during these 40 days of Lent, leading up to Easter, that we would take this passage out of 1 Corinthians 12 and say, okay, here's a list of nine gifts of the Spirit that are given out for the common good. You know, is it an exhaustive list and whatever? And there are other lists, of course, in different passages and in Romans and Ephesians, etc. But I think what Paul is saying, and an author I'm reading is saying, but here's a list, here's a grouping that Paul sees as ways that the Holy Spirit enjoys manifesting. Just enjoys showing up and doing these things because these are such encouragements for people. They're not meant to beat down and discourage. They're meant to build up the body. They're meant to encourage people towards faith in Jesus. So can we do it? We're given these gifts for others' benefit and our own growth. The more we do it, the more we realize, wow, this is pretty cool. And so we need to be doing that for each other, but I think we also need to be doing that as we go out from this place, not just within the safety of these walls, but as we go about our day, our week, to be able to say, just have that in the back of our minds. Excuse me. Have it in the back of our minds that God might want to use us. And he just might want to do something miraculous. He might want to heal someone. And, you know, how cool would that be if we just got to participate in what God's already chosen? It's like, I have this for that person. Are you willing to give it? And, you know, as we kind of look at that, we'll look at that more in these next six Sundays as we lead up to Easter Sunday. So gifts are for others' benefit first off, and then for our own growth. And there is great joy as we learn to live this life to the full. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for these words that Paul's written to us to kind of demystify this whole thing about spiritual gifts. That it's not so weird. It's not always for other people who are more qualified or less sinful or more mature, whatever the deal is. But it's for the common good. And you just choose. You do the choosing who gets to share this kind of stuff. And so we just want to be faithful relay runners. If we receive the baton, we want to run with it and pass it on to the next person who is needing it. Thanks for giving us awareness that these gifts are within our reach. And they're not so complicated that we need to study and earn a doctorate in order to exercise these things. But they're just ordinary folks just like us. So we thank you for that. And as we come into this Lenten season, these days leading up to Easter, that we would receive from you. And we would know what to do with them when we receive them. And it's going to get awkward, and we'll probably say things that are silly and foolish, and people aren't going to understand. But we're learning how to pass on the baton. And we may trip, but it's okay. We're learning. So we want to take these 40 days to learn how to do this better, how to be better about doing the work you've called us to do. And Father, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So we'd love to pray with you. If you need specific prayer, something God has put on your heart this morning, it just might be that we would have the very thing. We've been given that gift to pray. And so if you would like prayer, please come up this morning and let's just pray together and agree with God. And if you've got something you want to share with someone, it could be, surprise, that God might even give you something this morning. He may have something already that he's given you, put on your heart, that you need to give to someone, and you even know who it is. And so my encouragement is, don't waste it. Don't hold on to the baton until you leave, until the urge passes. But actually go to that person and say, for what it's worth, this is what I think. And let's just let God move. So let's, as we need prayer, let's do that. And then we'll be dismissed. And now as we go about that.